Thank you.
Do you have any supporters listed for this one?
Do you have anybody signed in?
I don't have anybody signed in. Is anybody here for Mr. Wheeler? I don't have anybody signed in.
No, sir.
Good morning, sir. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay, would you please state your full name and your ABC number for the record?
Raymond Henry Wheeler, 68101.
Thank you, sir. You're voting before the Arizona Board of Executive Tenancy this morning in reference to a 12 hearing. We introduce the board members that will conduct a hearing at this time. On the screen, as you look at it, to your far left is the Honorable Michael Johnson. Then we have the Honorable Dr. C.T. Wright, who is our board chairman. Then to the far right is the Honorable Louis Canones. My name is David Neal. I'll be the hearing lead today. So we're going to go over some information, sir, about you and the circumstances that got you in prison, and we'll go over that. As I go through the information, I may ask you occasionally if it sounds correct. If you hear something that you don't think is correct, let me know. We'll talk about it. And then once we get done doing that, we'll get to know you a little bit better. Okay?
All right.
All right. So you're, I left that number. You're 64 years old, sir?
Yes, sir. I'll be 65 this year.
Okay. And you're serving a life sentence for first-degree murder, which began on July 11, 1986. You were convicted by a jury and sentenced on May 26, 1988. You became parole eligible on April 1, 2013. And you were certified for this hearing, which is for whether parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge, on January 18, 2019. You've been before the board 7 times prior, and you were denied each time. So does that sound correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I'm going to go over a summary of the offense that got you there. This is from Phoenix Police Department report. It seems that in 1986, on July 1st, your wife, Dorothy, consumed approximately 5/5 of vodka, an $89 worth of heroin. Dorothy remembered some photos that your wife remembered some photographs of her in the room. They were located at a trailer of the victim, 62-year-old William Dale Trueblood, also known as Cowboy. And it was over on South 7th Street in Phoenix. And she knew a person who would buy the photos for $100. And with that money, you could buy more alcohol and more heroin. So the two of you go to the victim's residence, at which time the defendant, you gained entry to the trailer through an unlocked window. You got about halfway in the window, a shot was fired apparently by the victim. It struck you in the lower arm. During the commotion that followed, you wrestled the victim to the ground, hitting several times about the head. And Dorsey waited with the victim in the bedroom. You went to the kitchen to find a tape bag in which to carry items to be stolen out there. Upon returning to the bedroom, you noticed the trouble had broken out between the victim and Dorothy. You were able to free Dorothy, at which time you tied the victim's hand behind his back, and Dorothy placed two pillowcases over the victim's head and tied a t-shirt around the victim's neck, making a large knot in the t-shirt on the front of the victim's throat. As the victim would repeatedly try to sit up, you stabbed him in the face with a knife that you had found in the trailer. The victim's Well, since at this time, you and Dorothy removed three cameras and photographs from the photo and left the scene. The photo medical examiner, the victim died of ligature strangulation and deemed it homicide. So, does that sound fairly correct, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And of course, you were tried and convicted and sentenced. So, your criminal history, you know, about 1985, with some liquor violation, disorderly conduct, forgery, nothing of, there wasn't a great amount of it, and nothing severely assaulting. So, you've been in, you had fairly significant discipline, mostly with types of drug, contraband, disobeying. The troubles about me is the last 5 years we had five tickets, three were majors, one was a minor and one was informally resolved. And four of the five were positive and refused to drop from the base. So that's all in the last 5 years, sir. So were you, have you been using drugs in the last 5 years?
No, sir.
Why would you refuse to drop a UA then?
I never refused, I just couldn't produce.
Okay. So when, if you go in and can't produce for whatever reason, then they write it up as a refusal?
Yes, sir.
Okay. But you haven't been doing drugs?
No, sir.
Okay. So we have some moderate programming, but you've had some re-entry classes.
I've done every programming that they have.
Well, everyone that they made available to you?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, they have a lot of programs, but it's not always available in all different yards. And we do understand that lifers tend to have a harder time getting into class than somebody that's got hard to release date. But it's commendable that you got to reach some re-entry in that program again. Now, I don't see any family or community support letters or anything. Do you have any family here, sir?
No, sir. I got a sister that lives in Georgia, and that's the only family I got left.
Okay. You have any friends here in the valley?
No. I'd like to get my parole, if I can make it, transferred back to Georgia.
Well, there's a process involved with that. It's, the board has no authority over that, you know, whether you go on interstate compact or not. If the board were to vote to release you, then you would have to apply for interstate compact and see whether Georgia would accept it and see whether Arizona would allow it.
Yes, sir.
There's some negotiation between the two sides to figure all that out. So why were you in Arizona if all your family and everything is back in Georgia?
Just trying to start a new life.
Okay, so you came out here to try to get a better life than what you had in Georgia, but it didn't work out too well. Okay. Have you considered the fact or the idea that if you are released, that you wouldn't necessarily be able to go back to Georgia right away? You'd have to stay somewhere in, during the interim here, half an hour or something?
What I meant to say is, if I do make parole, I'm willing to stay at a halfway house, whatever, how long it takes, and start the process as quickly as possible.
Okay, well, you may don't understand that there's a process that really can't get started until after you've got a release date. And so they think that you know, if the board voted to release you, you automatically, like in your case, automatically head to Georgia, and that's not how it works. So
no, I know that.
Okay, all right. Have you applied to any of the halfway houses to see if they would accept you?
Yes, sir. Church on the Street will accept me.
Okay.
They'll accept me with what do they call that, the bracelet?
Right, yeah.
The probation.
GPS.
Yes.
GPS bracelet. They're quite fashionable, I understand. Okay. And Church on the Street is a very good organization. We hear a lot of good things about them, and they're they don't just accept anybody either. They, you know, if they said they would accept you, that's because you've got what they think is what it takes. So,
That's a good program.
Right. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what was going on in your life back when all this happened, and what's changed with you since you've been incarcerated?
Well, I really wasn't working at the time. I married a woman that liked alcohol just as much as I did, and that was a mistake. And just bad choices. Since then, I've moved on. I've bettered myself. I went to school. If you'll notice in the programming, I did the Pioneer College building maintenance. And I've just tried to better myself ever since.
Well, that's really good. So when you were extremely intoxicated and drugs and all that when this happened, so did you know this person, the victim? Did you know him before all this happened, before you went there to get the pictures?
We had met a couple of times before that, but I really didn't know him.
Okay. So I'm just going to ask you this. You don't have to answer if you don't want to, but because this person had rude pictures of your wife, did that make you make you angry when you went there? When you're born?
No, not really. I married a prostitute. So.
Okay, so it wasn't
the only way to have pictures.
All right, so it wasn't something. I mean, and the point being is that there are people, and I understand it, but the point was if you were, you know, mad, upset because this other guy had pictures of your wife and everything, it could have led to more violence when you went than if you just went to get the pictures because you wanted to sell them. And if you knew her background and all that, I can understand where that might not have been a deciding factor. So,
We tied him up to leave him alive. We never meant to kill anybody.
Okay, I understand that. So, since you've been incarcerated, have you had any alcohol there? Because you know what's available is not everywhere all the time, but it is available in prison.
I've had homebrew before. It's been a few years, but I don't really care for it. My days of drugging and alcohol and all that are over with. I'm too old for all that.
Have you taken any programming, AA, NA type programming?
Yes, sir. I've done NA, AA.
Okay. Those programs can be very beneficial to somebody, even if you didn't ever have any alcohol or drug addiction. The way they structure those 12-step programs, you follow it, it can help you with other parts of your life too. So that's good. Kind of cool. So you've taken courses through an outside college then?
Yes, sir.
Well, that's great.
Pioneer College.
That's very commendable. We hear a lot of inmates, they don't have anything for me, but they've never bothered to look into the alternatives, things that, they don't have to have on the yard for you to be able to get it from. So that's very commendable. I'm going to see if my fellow board members have any questions at this time.
May I just ask you, sir?
Pardon me?
Can I ask the question, sir?
Yes, sir.
Okay, so did you commit any crimes in Georgia before coming to the state of Arizona, sir?
No, sir.
Okay. How long
I was arrested for DUI.
Okay. Now, how long have you been in Georgia? Because you were born in Colorado, right? And you left Colorado and went to Georgia?
I'm an Air Force brat.
Oh, okay.
We moved around a lot.
Okay. So how long did you live in Georgia, sir?
From I'd say 13 to 18.
Okay. Let me ask this, like Elvis Lewis said about another question that he asked, and you don't have to answer this question, sir. And I don't mean anything negative about the question I'm going to ask, but you seem to be an intelligent gentleman. Why did you end up marrying a known prostitute, sir?
I don't know. I guess love's blind, like they say.
Okay. Yes, sir, it can be blind. Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Thank you so very much, sir. Yes, sir.
Any questions? Okay, sir. We're very needed of your hearing. The board will be going into this.
Can I say something real quick?
Pardon?
Can I say something real quick?
What, hang on a minute. That's why I'm going with this, okay?
Oh, okay.
Okay. We're very needed of your hearing. The board will be going into discussion shortly to make a determination. But before we do, I want to give you an opportunity to make a final statement. Tell us anything else you think the board might need to know. To make a determination. Okay?
Yes, sir.
All right, so now's the time. Whatever you want to tell us, now's the time.
I just want to let you guys know I'm older now, I'm wiser. My health's not all that good anymore. I got early onset of Parkinson's. And I just like another chance.
Okay, thank you, sir. We're going to be going into discussion. We'll be talking amongst ourselves and making determinations. You may think that we're addressing you, but we won't be. But we ask you to stay on the phone, just remain silent. You can hear the whole conversation. And then once we make a determination, I'll get back to you. Okay, sir?
Okay, thank you.
All right, the board is now in discussion. Well, Mr. Miller is an interesting person. He seems quite intelligent. And I would say attitude and demeanor shows that he has probably calmed down quite a bit since the offense occurred. He's overall done very well with programming. Unfortunately, it also happens as you get older that worldly concerns pass away and can't be supported anymore, and if you're freshly moved into an area, kind of making sparks when these kind of things happen there and see that there's no support. But I'm impressed that he's gotten with the church on the street. And as far as local placement, he wants to go back to Georgia, but he even seems to understand that it's a process. Everything involved, I'm looking at this, and I'm kind of on the fence, because as long as I don't look at his recent discipline, I'm very much in favor of release on home arrest, the game started back in the community, and possibly get back to Georgia and to some support. But he's had five disciplines in the last 5 years. And he says that they're probably going to refuse if they can't produce, they get written up that way. And I can believe that. But there were a lot of drugs, contraband, those kind of things in his past disciplines. So I'm not. I'm on the fence, and I'd like to move, hopefully some discussion from my fellow board members so we can kind of round this up. No discussion. Don't be that way.
I think we should just put on a record, you know, just for the record. This is not answering the question that you asked, that we do take note that we do have a letter opposing his parole from the Maricopa County Attorney's Office. Dated, I guess this is the most recent one, there may be one before this, but this one was from last year, about a year or so ago, January 12th, 2018, that he had submitted a letter to the board at that time, sir.
Okay, Mr. Moore, also, pardon me, also just a reminder that, I know we usually visit this throughout the hearing, but he does have a major as recently as 2016, which is an indication that he may have issues with ability to the conditions of possible supervised release.
Correct. Well, based on everything I have here, I am going to make a motion at this time to deny Mr. Raymond Mueller, ABC number 68101, deny the referrals and arrest for absolute discharge at this time. And with the payment of the crime, I'm going to ask for a 1 year set off. And that will be my motion.
Second. Agree.
Agree. Motion by myself, seconded by Mr. Simmons, agreed by Dr. Wright and Mr. Johnson. And the reason to agree is there's a serious and violent offense, loss of human life, trauma to the victim because of the length of time that he suffered with injuries. And he did have serious bodily injuries before he suffocated. Recent disciplinary infractions. And because we didn't have anything specifically showing acceptance by the church on the street or from his mother back in Georgia for that, and they live up on the same corridor on his plan, but that's just because we don't have the documentation. Because we don't have any letters or anything, we don't have any community support. Anything any of my fellow board members think should be added? No. Okay, Mr. Weaver, you heard the decision of the board. We voted to deny regular parole, home arrest, or absolute discharge at this time. And those were the reasons that I gave. Did you hear all of that?
Yes, sir.
Okay, well, we do wish you the best of luck. Continue on the road you're going now. It looks like there's some hope in the future. And we do wish you the best of luck. This is when you're hearing, and please just lay the phone down for the CO3 of the next inmate, please.